Good evening. Good evening, Illinois Valley. And I want to welcome you once again to another episode of Valley News and Views. And we're a live and in-depth interview show, a call-in show, an email-in show. Each week we have local government and agency officials, Ivy Fire District, Sheriff, County Commissioners. And this evening, I'm very happy to say, we've got Scott Chancy. He is the transit manager for Josephine County. And we also have Martha Chavez. She is the operations supervisor for the Josephine Community Transit. And I just want to welcome you both to the air here. Thanks a bunch for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Keith.
And let's get started first off with talking a little bit about the geographic area that Josephine Community Transit covers. It covers Grants Pass. It's kind of based in Grants Pass, but it covers other population centers. So what
Yes.
are all those?
So our actual service area, we're part of Josephine County, so our service area encompasses all of Josephine County. So we have commuter runs typically outside the city of Grants Pass and then fixed route service within the city of Grants Pass, as well as a dial-a-ride service within that fixed route service area boundary for people that have a disability that prevents them from using the fixed route or if they're over the age of 62. So unfortunately, that's not available out in Cave Junction, but what we do run out here in your community is starting on February 10th, so it started yesterday, we provide 7 trips a day out to Cave Junction to connect back to Grants Pass. So what we did is that was upped from 5. So before Monday, we ran 2 runs in the morning that hit Cave Junction at 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning. And then we had another one that hit Cave Junction around noon. And then there was 2 back-to-back afternoon runs. So what we did is we added a mid-morning and then a mid-afternoon so people had more options. So if they weren't commuting to Grants Pass or back out to Cave Junction for work or for school, they weren't stuck in Grants Pass between that first run that arrived in the morning and the midday, so it split it up the way it was before, as they could be in Grants Pass waiting up to 4 hours for the next run out. So this cut that significantly down to about 1.5. So we're pretty happy to offer that.
And that is Monday through Friday?
Correct. So we're currently only Monday through Friday. And the fares, you can use our service within the city of Cave Junction itself. So if you wanted to go from, let's say, the former Junction Inn out to the Ivy Coalition, because that's one of our stops, it would cost $1 for a full fare or 50 cents for a reduced fare person. And a ride all the way anywhere outside of Cave Junction is going to be $2. So that would be $2 if you were going to Kirby, or $2 if you're going all the way to Grants Pass. And then we also have a reduced fare rate of $1.
Okay. And then there's also another commuter run going out to Medford and connecting with Rogue Valley Transit District. And then
Correct.
You also have a commuter run that goes up towards Happy Valley, or goes up to Happy Valley, right?
Not yet. We go out to the northern part of Josephine County. So we go all the way to Wolf Creek. We stop in Merlin, Hugo, Sunny Valley, then Wolf Creek.
Sunny Valley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
One of those valleys.
Yeah.
So, and we're trying to make a connection to Douglas County and Glendale. That actually happens one day a week right now through another provider coming out of Douglas County. And then we do offer another commuter route that goes from Grants Pass, stops in Rogue River, Gold Hill, and then makes a connection to the Rogue Valley Transportation District in Medford. And you can actually transfer from our route to any of the RVTD routes for free. So conceptually, somebody could come from Cave Junction for $2, a full fare rate, and get all the way to Ashland for $2.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a good thing good thing to point out. I want to jump in here. Something I didn't say right at the top of the hour is that I mentioned that this is an email-in and call-in show, and how to do that is news@kxcj.org. You can send an email in, or you can call us, 592-4112. 4112, and you can call with your question or comment and join the conversation. That's the whole point to Valley News and Views. We're connecting county officials and nonprofit leadership with the folks out here in the IV. So please join the conversation anytime during the next hour. We're going to be here till 7 p.m. with me in the air room, Scott Chansey, Transit System Manager, and Martha Chavez is the Operations Supervisor for the transit system of Josephine County. And thanks once again. And so that was some basic stuff going on there. There's four routes that are essentially serving the Grants Pass metro area.
Correct.
And then three commuter routes that spread out to other population centers or connect with Medford and another transit district.
Correct.
And you mentioned the Dial-A-Ride, which, did I understand that correctly? Dial-A-Ride service is not happening in the IV.
It does not. So we don't have to offer that. The Dial-A-Ride is essentially a legal obligation under the Americans with Disabilities Act for transit service. And since the route out to Cave Junction is considered a commuter route, we're not obligated to provide that. So what the actual legal obligation is you have to operate or offer that Dial-A-Ride service within 3/4 of a mile on each side of a fixed route. So you could probably imagine the financial significance that would put upon us if we had to provide that 3/4 of a mile on each side of 199 from Grants Pass to Cave Junction. So, but with that said, all of our vehicles are lift equipped. So if you can get to a stop in Cave Junction and you do qualify for the Dial-A-Ride service, once you got into Grants Pass, you could use the Dial-A-Ride service to get you anywhere you want within that service boundary. So you don't have to be living within the service area to be eligible to use the service. You just need to be enrolled as a client. So the Dial-A-Ride service, again, it goes door-to-door, curb to curb for people that have a disability or those over the age of 62. So unfortunately, like I said, we don't offer it in Cave Junction, but if you can get from Cave Junction on one of our vehicles or even have someone bring you into town, you would be eligible to use that service once you are enrolled as a client.
But what's confusing me is that I'm pretty sure I've seen Dial-A-Ride vehicles out here.
I haven't. No, you wouldn't have seen one of ours.
Okay.
One of the things we've talked about is trying to set up a system like that out here for community-based trips, and we just haven't been able to put together the resources either financially or have the personnel to be able to do it. I think the best way to do that would be a partnership with some other community group where we would provide them the vehicles and they could provide the volunteer hours, or if they wanted to pay them, they could to provide that, because that's the easiest part. It's, you know, the vehicle. The harder part is making sure that you have people and are able to provide that service. But one of the things I'd also just quickly want to jump to, there's been a lot of requests. We've been talking with the community of Cave Junction. There's been requests for services out to Tequilma and O'Brien. We've been looking into that. We haven't quite been able to pull it off. But currently there's another outside service. It's called Southwest Point. And they provide service from Cave Junction all the way to Smith River, and they also go all the way to Klamath Falls. So they come through this location twice a day. So I'm working with an agreement with them to allow any of our passengers to use their bus from their stop in O'Brien back and forth to Cave Junction.
So that would be, to clarify, that would be once a day in each direction.
It's once a day in each direction, but I think they are rechanging their contract and they're splitting that services. So it's not one vehicle going all the way from Smith River to Klamath Falls. So their resources are better spent that if they did it from Smith River to Cave Junction and then back, they'd be able to provide two runs a day. So hopefully they're going to be able to increase their service as well as provide service to our passengers for free.
Mm-hmm. And so that's something that you're negotiating right now?
I'm negotiating with them right now. So hopefully, it's actually ODOT is the actual contract or. So once they get the contractee on board and they get through all the legal qualifications, then that's when we'll start to do that. I've already notified ODOT of my intentions, and they said, yeah, that's perfectly fine for us to be asking the contractor to do that.
Mm-hmm. And so since you brought it up, let's just follow up. Let's follow up on that. I know that it seems a perennial question, conversation starter when it comes to public transit and IV is, what about folks that live out in that population center around O'Brien,
right,
and then also Tacoma? And I think it was spring of last year, maybe, I think, that you came out and did a ride-along with some local folks. And so you were doing a little bit of research, checking the road quality, checking for bus turnarounds, things like that. So where is that? That's the big question for folks out here, is when might there be bus service to the O'Brien area and the Tacoma area, realistically?
Yes, we, me and Martha both came out, I think it was a little over a year ago, and we did that trip, and we figured, based on local input, that there could be a round trip from Cave Junction to O'Brien to Tacoma to back to Cave Junction. So we actually planned a route. We did it in a bus. It was doable. So then it just comes down to funding. Now, for us, funding, we just received this large influx of funding for Josephine County. It's based on a payroll tax dedicated specifically to transit service. So this was passed statewide. And it means the equivalent of the payroll tax is somebody making minimum wage would pay about $20 a year total into this tax. So that goes to improve services.
And that's for everybody in Josephine County? Everybody in Josephine County would pay into that?
Correct. Every covered employee within Josephine County pays into that. And if you are one of those covered employees, you'll see it on your paycheck, or you should see it on your paycheck.
And that begs the question, what's a covered employee?
So there's certain exemptions. There's certain nonprofits. I think there's certain medical facilities that aren't paying that. There's certain things like that. So I'd have to actually read the statute and see what it was covered under this. So everyone within Josephine County is participating in all those that are covered are participating and paying into this fund, and we're going to provide public transit with it. But part of that is we had to provide a plan to the state stating that these were our priorities, and those priorities didn't come from me or my staff. We set the expansion propositions out there and said we can do this with this money, or we can do this with this money. And my Special Transportation Advisory Committee, which is a group of 9 individuals appointed by the Josephine County Board of County Commissioners, they decided. So we went through a long transit master plan. We had a lot of public involvement with that, and then ultimately it came down to these 9 individuals making recommendations. So
that was in 2018, right? The master plan.
That's exactly right. And so the Cave Junction service was recognized. It just wasn't high on the priority list. So it's about 6 or 7 down on the list.
Ouch.
Yes. So with that said, I'm looking for some other alternatives. So we're just doing as much as we possibly can. And I don't know when we'll see that round trip happening out here. There's things that we might be able to do and extend the commuter routes that we're doing now to cover that need. But the problem with that is it takes away from the commuter service that we're providing now. We're lengthening that trip or delaying those times, those kind of things. So it's something that operational-wise, we'll see if we can work it in. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, it seems with transit districts, transit providers, that there's always that tension between maximizing ridership and maximizing coverage.
Correct.
You can't really do both at the same time with a specific pot of money.
That's correct. There are actually conflicting goals. So part of our transit master plan was to address that question, and the community settled on about a 50-50 split that our resources should be going towards more transit-intensive operations or ridership productivity versus coverage across the entire county. So we could take our budget and split it across the entire county and provide a little bit of service for everyone, or we can try to concentrate where we operate now, and that's what we've been directed to do.
And so you said that it seemed like there was real leadership coming from the advisory committee mm-hmm. to the commissioners. That's how you experienced it, is that those nine individuals dug in and set some priorities themselves.
Correct. So part of them, they could direct that in the Transit Master Plan, or it came through the Transit Master Plan, and then that advisory committee kind of prioritized the projects and then sent them forward to the Board of County Commissioners. And then once the Board of County Commissioners approved, then they sent them on to the state. And we actually have a plan filed with the state that says, hey, this is what we're going to do with these transportation dollars. As far as circling back to the extra service out in Cave Junction, in another year, there might be an opportunity to provide for some discretionary dollars to provide that to see, but it wouldn't be a long-term thing. The service would only last for 2 years, and we could test it out as a pilot project. That would be the more recent opportunity, or the most upcoming opportunity to do this.
Okay, about a year out.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, a little music break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Valley News and Views, and with me in the studio, Scott Chancy, Transit Manager for Josephine County, and Martha Chavez, Operations Supervisor, both coming out here representing the work of Josephine Community Transit, and here to answer any questions or concerns that you might have. So give us a call or send us an email, and we'll work those into the conversation. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to KXCJLP 105.7 FM Cave Junction. And Valley News and Views is the program. We're here every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. We have a different public official or nonprofit leader that's active here in the Illinois Valley. And discuss what's going on. And that's what we're doing this evening. The topic is public transit and what it is currently and what it can become in the near future, near-ish future. And before we took a break there and went to music, we were talking about a year out, most optimistically, for an added route here in Cave Junction. However, you also mentioned that there is Saturday service that's going to get going. And
correct.
And so what is that Saturday service going to look like, and when is it going to get going, do you think?
I've been talking about this for over a year. So every time I give a hard date, I seem to wreck it. So I'm being more conservative now, but adding a full day of service is a lot different than just adding days or hours to the days of the week. So we have to come up with dispatch staff and maintenance staff as well as drivers and vehicles to provide that. So I'm shooting for May 2020 to start Saturday service. And it's even though we provide service to Cave Junction with commuter routes, those commuter routes will operate on Saturday as well. It won't be at the same frequency that's being seen right now as Monday through Friday. At 7 trips a day, more than likely, it'll be probably 3 to 4 trips a day sometime between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Okay.
So that's what we're shooting for. Now, my first deadline was October 2019, and that got pressed to January 2020, and now we're pushing it back out to May. So hopefully.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts,
correct,
literally and figuratively, running,
correct,
a transit system. And we did get several email questions, and one of them is there a plan to add any additional covered bus shelters in Cave Junction?
Okay, currently, as you've probably noticed, there's no established bus stops in Cave Junction. There currently is one shelter out at the IV Coalition. That's the only one. There's no other stops with our signs or things like that. So for my first priority is going to be establishing stops, physical locations that are visible to the community so they know that that's a bus stop. And then at that point, we'll move through and look at shelters. It's something that's on the list, but the quickest thing that I can do is put out benches and that kind of thing. And I think I'm going to turn Martha Chavez over to that project here very soon, because it's something that I've been talking about almost as long as Saturday service and just haven't been able to pull off. So currently, there's 10 stops in Cave Junction, and I would like to see a bench at 9 of those.
There's 10 stops?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Is that, that's counting
so
on
it's in and out.
North and south, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So there's essentially it'd be 5 all the way into town, turn around, and 5 on the way back out.
Right.
And they're generally across from each other, but the problem with public transit, or one of the issues with you know, promoting it, is if people don't know where to catch it, where to catch the bus, it's a significant barrier. They don't know. They can't visualize themselves using it if they don't even know where to get on. So my first priority,
right,
is to do that. We have a white bench / pole sign combo that can go in a relatively easy. The interesting part about Cave Junction is we're working within the state right-of-way, which does make things a little bit more difficult. But like I said, I'm going to dedicate someone to this project, and we're going to get it taken care of.
And maybe, Martha, you could pick that up. What does that look like just physically, operationally, getting a bus stop put in? I mean, what do you have to do? What kind of planning process do you have to go through or anything like that?
Well, that, and I'll let her finish, but this is, when I said I'm turning her loose, this means this is her maiden voyage, so to speak.
Okay.
It's a small planning process. You have to make sure it's in the public right-of-way. You have to give a plan to the state of Oregon and get it approved. You have to have a contractor that's insured.
That's because it's on the side of a state highway.
That's exactly right.
Okay, just to clarify there.
Yes.
So that as service expands, hopefully, in the future, then we're not talking about ODOT to get a bus stop out at Tequilma or something like that. Right.
No. ODOT's really easy to work with, but when you're in there right away, you got to work within their rules.
Yep. That's why we don't have a mailbox here at the radio station.
Similar circumstance.
The concept, just to whet people's appetite for service, expanded service here, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, but just to get people thinking about it, is that it would go out to O'Brien, hypothetically, and then head out to Tequilma and come back around to Caves Highway and come back into town that way.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's what we looked at. You were driving, weren't you, Martha?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
I was.
Did you find any problems with that route or any issues that you encountered as a driver?
No, I did not.
And you were actually scouting for bus turnarounds and things like that. Of course, they're the shorter buses, I assume.
Correct.
The small buses, not the big Mahougans.
Yeah, they're not 35-foot diesel pushers. They were the smaller cutaway-type vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's what we were looking at doing. Honestly, the quickest way to probably turn this around is for a group to take a vehicle or donate one or something of that nature. So I do know that there's a nonprofit here within Cave Junction that's asking me for vehicles, and they're on the list. So we give vehicles that we pull from service because they're at the end of their useful life. We give those to other community nonprofits, and so I know that there's two vehicles on the list that they're requesting. So what they do with those, I'm not sure, but we'll definitely enter this conversation as well. If it's something that they can do, I'm going to rapidly encourage it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was my next question is, we were speaking earlier about the County Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. 9 folks appointed by the commissioners to advise the commissioners on transit policy, and you said that they really did some decision making, did some homework, and that it wasn't a rubber stamp body. And
no.
So how do people out here in the IV that want to have a positive impact on the growth of public transit here in the IV, how can they best put some energy into the mix?
So one thing they can do is they can write me, they can write the county commissioners, or they can actually attend the STAC committee meetings, or
they can call us too.
Yeah, they can call our office and make notice. That's the easiest way.
And you said STAC committee?
Yeah, it's called the Special Transportation Advisory Committee. I currently do have openings on the committee, so there other people could join. I will tell you, it's kind of, although they're a very good group, and they look out for specific population groups, the elderly, the disabled, transit users, somebody from Rogue Community College is on my advisory board. So they do a very good and kind of unbiased job, but you're talking about a numbers game. So if you have, 40 or 30,000 plus people giving input from just the city of Grants Pass versus, 2,000 out of the Cave Junction area, whose voice is going to get heard first, which is probably reflected for the most part in our service improvement priority list. So the first one obviously is the one I haven't been able to get to, Saturday service. That, and then later evening, which all these things are rolling out right now, and the additional commuter runs, and then additional service within the city of Grants Pass. So those are the priorities. The other one is there was a service extension out to the the Murphy area, out 238, as well as, you know, extensions or provision of more service out in the Cave Junction area.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we will probably be updating one of our plans in the next coming year. So if somebody wants to be a participant in that plan, definitely get hold of my office, because that's the best way is to let your needs be known and what you want to see from your public transit system, and get it in a plan. Then that way you can point to it, and then when funding becomes available, you have an identified need, and that's basically the first step.
Right. And you said that there are vacancies currently.
Correct.
on that body, on the stack, and also, are there seats on that advisory committee reserved for rural people, or is it just kind of easily, I'm not saying it's an evil plot, but it's just easy for the Grants Pass metro area to kind of dominate that body?
It's easy for the urbanized area of Grants Pass to dominate the body, but this is a state requirement as well as a federal requirement to have this advisory body. But with the new funding, some of the other categories, they never break it out and say, hey, you have to have so many rural participants, because if you figure they're doing it statewide, there's a lot of rural providers already out there. So they've expanded the category for people that need to be represented to low income. That's defined at a certain level, elderly, disabled, those looking after the interests of children through 9th through 12th grade. That's where the expansion is made, as well as just transit user is a population group. So anybody in Cave Junction could easily fit into any one of those categories.
Absolutely. And here's another email question that came in, and we've kind of been talking about this, but this writer is asking about bus service to O'Brien. Seniors living here hesitate to drive to Grants Pass unless absolutely necessary. And it sure would be nice to be able to shop or go to a movie and know we had a bus ride home. So, yeah, that's, there is Saturday service that's coming, which mm-hmm. is part of that. And there is new evening service that's coming for the Grants Pass metro area.
Correct.
But there's not, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not evening service that's coming for the commuter routes.
There's not. And what are the last two runs of the commuter route?
Leaving the courthouse will be at 4:35 and then 5:35 coming into CJ.
Okay.
So somebody would have to come into town on that commuter route and essentially be done with their business in town to get on the last opportunity to leave Grants Pass is at 5:35 p.m.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be expanded at this point yet.
Or Martha, did you say 4:30 or 5:30?
4:35 and 5:35.
Oh, 5:35. Okay, yeah. So, done with your business and to the courthouse. Speaking of the courthouse, there is going to be built a new transit hub. Is that true in GP?
Correct.
Okay.
So where we're at the courthouse, which is a main stop, the way that our system operates is it operates as a time transfer point. So all the routes or some of the routes converge on a time transfer point to allow or facilitate for transfers between vehicles and directions of travel. So currently at the courthouse, it's just a cluster. All of a sudden, at the top and bottom of the hour, there could be anywhere from 3 to 5 buses. So we've identified land that's currently owned by the county over on 5th Street to build a transit hub. So once that hub is built, at that location, every route will have its own distinct parking spot. So it won't be, hey, where's my bus? You'll know exactly where to go and look. So hopefully that'll start construction here within the next 3 to 4 months, maybe at the earliest, and we'll get that going as soon as possible. But that's what we're looking at doing. So it would be a transfer hub, and we'll have customer service facilities there as well. And each route will have its own shelter, information, passenger amenities for each specific route. And so hopefully that'll be coming here soon. And then that way there won't just be this large gathering of people and buses right at one spot in, at the courthouse, because right now there's one shelter there, and if you see people that are waiting for the next run, there might be 10 to 15 people sitting there.
And that's I've seen that.
Yeah, that's not the way to operate, so we're moving as rapidly as possible.
And here's another email question. If I'm new to public transit, where would I go to find instructions? For instance, is there a video of how to use the buses, showing the schedule, how you board and pay your fare?
I can jump in there if you want me to.
I would love for it.
Okay. So one of the things we try to tell people is we encourage them to call us. We have now 5 dispatchers that we are there to help, because sometimes people, they are afraid to go out on their own for the first time. We walk them through step by step. We tell them what time they need to be at stop, what time they arrive to Grants Pass, and we tell them which routes to take.
Wow, a human being.
Yes.
It's pretty it's pretty important
that's nice.
A human answer the phone, and it just doesn't go into a robocall situation.
Yeah.
I would also like to point out, you can go to Google Maps, and you can use, there's a little bus icon. You can use that, and the entire state of Oregon is hooked up to that. So if you want to go from Cave Junction to Medford, it's going to show you how to use our routes and then how to make the connection to Medford as well as Ride RVTD.
Is that a recent development for Josephine Community Transit, though, getting hooked into that system?
We've been on there for probably 2 or 3 years. It's another, the state pays for us to do that. So it's a recent relative new development, but it's always ongoing and it's getting better. The other thing that we have is we have an app you can get for a smart device. It's called Route Shout 2.0, and that's going to give you real-time arrival data for our buses as well as help you plan a trip. So those are 2 resources, as well as what Martha said, that the easiest one is to call our office. But that is a good... That is actually a very good idea if there was a video or something of that outlined all of these opportunities for someone to plan a trip.
Yeah, just looking around today, the other day, at the website, it seemed like it was not the easiest thing in the world to find the schedule for the commuter runs.
Correct.
So I'll just throw that out there. And Martha, you mentioned that there are now 5 dispatchers, but what's the phone number for folks to call?
It is 541-474-5452.
Okay, 474-5452. All right. And
One of the things that we have done, too, for some people is, because they don't have computers, they usually call us and we will send them by mail a schedule. Then now we have separated the commuter routes with the routes in town. So if they just want to have information with the commuters, we will send that schedule through mail, and then they will have it on paper. Sometimes people, they are afraid to go out without having something that they can see.
Something physical.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nice. That's nice. And it's interesting to remember that this transit system, I mean, maybe 10 years ago was about 2 routes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
It was 4 routes.
Four routes 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
so we've expanded, not really expanded our footprint so much, but improved the service in terms of service frequency.
Frequency.
Right.
Yeah. And getting back to another conundrum of increasing ridership versus coverage, and it is kind of one or the other to a great extent, as you pointed out, Scott, then we've got 2,000 people officially in the city of Cave Junction, 36,000 officially in Grants Pass. But I guess the thing that's frustrating and maybe somewhat mysterious is that there's thousands of people out here in the IV. They're
right.
Just not connected to a political entity other than the county. And so would you say that that's some of the problem, almost from a bureaucratic angle, that there are thousands of people that are out here that maybe don't have a really great way of getting their voices heard in terms of their needs for public transit.
Yeah, I would typically agree with that. There's a couple other issues that go along with it. Is some people don't feel that their voice is going to be heard, which is not necessarily true. But part of the thing that we find when we talk about coverage versus productivity, and this is unique, is if you look at the price of housing out in Cave Junction or the Cave Junction area versus Grants Pass or the urbanized portion of Grants Pass, the housing prices are cheaper outside that urban area, and typically those are the people that need public transit the most. So you have basically a contradiction. So there's people that want service that are in the more densely populated areas, and those typically are the people that might not necessarily need it the most in terms of if you look at overall impact on their transportation needs. So we kind of are dealing with that. But with that said, we know that those people are more transit dependent in those rural areas. So definitely you actually have a louder voice if you're just willing to kind of apply it.
There's certainly, I would argue, more need. It's just not as many people with
Correct.
Such a severe need for public transit. There's
Correct.
There's tons of people out here, in my experience, that don't have reliable personal transportation, car or truck, and sometimes just getting gas money together is a problem, too.
Correct.
And as you pointed out earlier, if you do the math, really, on the fares, if you're going all the way into big town, as people say sometimes, going into Grants Pass, then it's cheaper to ride the bus than gas money.
Yeah.
Really, if you have a gas guzzler or something that's sucking up the dinosaur juice 20 miles per gallon or something like that, 20-25, there's a lot of trucks out here that'd probably be good mileage. It's cheaper to take the bus, but that is that's not always the case in some jurisdictions, it seems like. And then, speaking of money, where does JCT's Josephine Community Transit's funding come from? If you could just, not super duper detail, but just really break that down, I think that would be useful.
Yes. So all of the funding that we get either comes from state or federal sources, and 100% of it is dedicated to the provision of general public transit services. And the reason I say general public is because it's not geared to any specific population group, such as clients of DHS or something like that. So it means anyone can use it. It's open for the general public while we're open. So we get funds from the Federal Transit Administration directly, and then we get funds from ODOT through a cigarette tax and a small engine gas tax, as well as the recent inclusion of the payroll tax. Other than that, that is the majority of our funding. So we do have some service contracts. We have a service contract with Rogue Community College to allow college students that are enrolled at RCC to board our vehicle using only their student ID. So we get some revenue from that. We get some revenue through non-emergency medical transportation, which is through the Oregon Medicare program, as well as our fare box. Now, people think that, or might be under the misunderstanding, that we receive a lot of funding through our fare box, or we support ourselves with that, but that's not true. So depending on what route or what service you're talking about, we're only going to recover anywhere from 10-20% of our overall operating costs through the fare box. And this gets back to that productivity thing. So some people think that public transit ought to recuperate more, be able to stand with less subsidies. And the only way to do that is to increase the amount of passengers riding. Therefore,
sure.
You see the problem.
Yeah.
Then if that's your goal, or that's the direction the community is telling you to go, then you need to put your resources where you're going to get the most ridership. But that's not the question that I've been asking the community, and my advisory committee has been asking as well. Is it's like, what is our goal, or what is the mix of our of what we're supposed to be providing for the community? Is it coverage or is it basically productivity? So
yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a wrong turn on the trail, because there's almost a social justice aspect.
Correct.
To running a transit district or providing public transit, and it's not a for-profit business.
Correct.
And I think that folks that say, well, you know, seems like you need to raise bus fare, are frequently, I would imagine, people that have never ridden a bus. And charging $5 or $6 for that trip into Grants Pass that's currently $2, I imagine you'd see quite a fall off.
You would. And that's just part of the challenge that is an aspect of my job, and it's relating that to the community and saying, hey, there's trade-offs. If you want me to pursue ridership, here's the trade-off. If you think that we should provide service for the most vulnerable in our communities and that's what our goal should be, here's the trade-off, because they do contradict each other, and you can't pursue both goals at the same time. And so that's just something that we're working on. And to kind of put it into perspective, part of our job is obviously reducing congestion and things like that. So our daily ridership within Grants Pass alone is probably anywhere from 600 to 700 trips a day. So if you say those are two-way trips, so just within Grants Pass, let's say it's the lower number, that's 300 cars a day that we've just removed from the road if everyone was riding in an automobile. So that's also another aspect of what we're trying to accomplish that needs to get put into the picture as well.
Sure. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick music break. You have been listening to a conversation with Scott Chancy and Martha Chavez. They are both here as leadership of Josephine County's Josephine Community Transit. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we got a little bit of time left, so please give us a call, 592-4112, or you can email us at news@kxcj.org, and we'll be right back. Thank you. Hi there. We're back. And you are listening to KXCJ LP 105.7 FM, Cave Junction, and the whole Illinois Valley. And we have with us in the air room this evening, finishing up a conversation on public transit in the Illinois Valley and how we can make it better, actually. With us is Scott Chancy. He's transit manager for Josephine County, and Martha Chavez. She's here. She's the operations supervisor for Josephine Community Transit. We were talking there during the music break about a couple of things, and before we go, I think it would be good to just go back over how people can get in touch. If folks out here are interested in improving public transit in the Illinois Valley, then there is this advisory committee, and
correct,
you said that there were vacancies. So what's the process there? They have to fill out an application? And
so we're part of the county, so the county has advisory committees set up. So there's an application process. So they would go to the county website, go to the advisory committee section, and fill out an application and state that you want to be appointed to the Special Transportation Advisory Committee. You do that. To be on the committee, you have to either work or live in Josephine County, so that would include any Cave Junction resident. But it's not, it doesn't disclude someone that lives in Jackson County that works in Josephine County. So fill out the application, submit it. It goes in front of the Special Transportation Advisory Committee. They make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners, and then the Board of County Commissioners makes the official appointment. And every term is, I think, a 2-year term, and there's no expiration dates in terms of there's no term limit. So you could be there as long as you need to be or feel you need to be. But that's the best way to make input into the decision-making process. We do appreciate your phone calls. We do take everyone. We write those down. We do log that kind of information with people calling and making the request via our phone. Just understand that's the longer process to get things done. So as far as calling into the office regarding, you know, comments, questions, things like that, Martha, you could jump.
Well, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for having us here and to giving us the opportunity to share with the community what we do. And like Scott said, we are always looking for ways to improve what we do. So please feel free to call us and let us know what is working and what things they would like to see.
And that phone number?
It is 541-474-5452.
You can also email us off the website. There's a general delivery, and I apologize. I'm the one that answers that email. I don't always check it every day. So if you email that one instead of me directly, be prepared. It might be a day before I finally notice that it's there and get an answer back to you. But we do get to everybody.
And so when you say the website, then people are going to Josephine County website. And then there's a public transit
so that
they can click on, I believe.
Yeah, you can either go to the departments, which are listed at the top of the page, or on the left side of the page, there's an option of transit schedule. So you click on the transit schedule, and then from there you can go to the transit webpage home. And then from there, a lot of this information is laid out at that point on.
And Josephine County has been reportedly revamping
yeah,
their multi-page website. And,
right,
and I use it pretty frequently doing the work that I do here at the radio station. And hopefully it'll be a little bit easier to navigate when the dust settles.
That's what we're hoping for. And we're hoping to have our information laid out there in a little more logical manner. It's just it takes time. So the web page is part of the county's web page, but that means that I have to maintain it as my department. So that's part of the issue. So when they get through the revamping of the website, we'll attack it vigorously, and hopefully we'll get it taken care of sooner rather than later.
Right, right. And we've got just a few minutes left to go, but one interesting development to me for a relatively small transit district is that you recently purchased some electric buses.
Correct.
And so why was that? I mean, it's easy to think, yay, electric buses, but that it has to pencil out. It has to be a good deal.
Correct. So we bought them based on economic factors. So there's been some community Rogue Valley disagreement as to those numbers, but no one's ever actually asked me about them. So our useful life of a bus is 12 years. So the cost of an electric bus is about a little over $300,000, depending on which one you buy, more than a diesel bus. So what we did is we purchased existing diesel buses that had that were entirely rebuilt and equipped with an electric motor. So they were cheaper than a full-blown, brand-new electric bus, so we made some savings there. But the savings that you get in terms of fuel reduction, so the price of diesel versus the price of electricity, I'm looking to recuperate anywhere from $600 to $900 a month per vehicle. And then there's also another point of reduced maintenance cost, and that reduced maintenance cost on the diesel bus, I'm looking at anywhere from $1,100 to $1,500 a month reduction in that maintenance cost. So if you add that up over the useful lifespan of 12 years, it does pencil out. Now, granted, we don't come up with the entire amount to purchase the bus. We only come up with about 10% as the local requirement. So if you're looking at that's what I need to require, we easily make that up.
Mm-hmm. So and was the other 90%, was that state money or federal money?
It's federal money. Yeah, we have to come up with the actual numbers, 10.27%. But over the life of the vehicle, it made sense. And on our vehicles, because I also chose a vehicle that didn't require a third-party charging platform. So the charger is actually, it's an inverter, and it's built into the vehicle, so I didn't have to pay for that. So that was another expense.
That is interesting to hear. It'll be interesting to see how those buses perform, too.
Yes.
And we're about done with this edition of Valley News and Views. And I want to thank both of you, Scott and Martha, for coming out and representing community Josephine Community Transit and the future of public transit here in the Ivy, giving us a glimpse of what's to come. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.